God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. So here's the question for us today. What are the things in your life that are most important to you? Think about it. What are the things that are most important to you in your life? They can be trivial things like vintage cars. I love vintage cars. In fact, I love Volkswagen vintage cars. And the other day, I called Discount Tire because I need new tires on my vintage VW. And he asked me a question that only VW people know. Do you have wide five wheels? Anybody else know what that means? Yeah. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. This guy loves VWs like I do because he knows what a wide five wheel is. It's really just where the bolts fit. Don't worry about it. Are you the kind of person who the most important thing to you is the new technology thing? Our friend Connie McGinty, that's not her thing apparently based on the video we saw earlier. But maybe you're the person who always has the newest gadget, the newest phone, the newest Xbox, or whatever it is. Now, those most important things don't have to be trivial to you. They can actually be very deep and meaningful. Things like faith and family. But what are those things that you cherish, that you wish other people would cherish long after you're gone? If something is the most important to you, you don't want it to stop with you, right? You want to see that very most important thing carry on from generation to generation. What are those things that you wish to pass on after you pass on? Well, today we are wrapping up our series, Ready, Set, Go. And the big idea behind it is this, that as we roll into a new year, which it's kind of weird to think about, because it feels like New Year's was so long ago. We're not even out of January, though. But when we start a new year, we oftentimes take that opportunity with a fresh push to leave things behind, to start new things. And the focus of this series has been on how do we, in this new year, step forward and deepen our discipleship with Christ. And today, we're looking at that gospel reading that Pastor Tim read for us, Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus calls his very first disciples. And we're digging into what does it look like for us to pass down that which is most valuable to us. You see, the most important calling that you have in life, whether that be spouse or parent, job, student, child, neighbor, whatever it is, the most important calling that you have in life is to bring people around you to continue the work that you're doing after you're gone. Here's the reality. Your job is not just to bear fruit today, but to make sure that someone can take what you are doing after you are done and continue to bear fruit long after you're gone. There's a saying in leadership that you need to work yourself out of a job. And what they mean is you raise up, pass on all those things that you do. As parents, we don't parent just to make faith-filled children for today. We parent that those, our children, would have children who are faith-filled, and they too would have children who are faith-filled. If you're a grandparent, your job is not just to be easy, free babysitters, although that's really cool. Your job is not just to spoil your grandkids, which is really fun. At least for you as grandparents, maybe not for us as parents. Your job is to make sure that your kids know what it means to be a supportive and loving grandparent as they age and grow up. You are an invested member of this church right here, right now. Not just so that church can do ministry today, but so that when your kids are having kids, the church is still here doing ministry. So let me ask you this. What are you doing to ensure, what are you doing in your life right now intentionally to ensure that what you value most is being passed on after you pass on? If you're here as a parent and you value less screen time, are you putting your phone down and engaging and interacting with your kids regularly? If you're a grandparent and you value your children, what are you doing to help your children out when they most need it? Now, those are all wonderful questions and things to be thinking about. But what we want to zero in on here is the idea of faith. If faith is the most important calling upon your life, which I would argue that it is, faith is the most important thing in your life. And if that's the case for you, then the question is, what are you doing to invest into others and to pass that faith on after you pass on? I think it's a really biblical question to wrestle with. And it's exactly what Jesus shows us in Matthew chapter 4. You see, Jesus is really good at passing on that which is most important to him. And the evidence is not necessarily totally in Scripture. The evidence is sitting right here today. Because over 2,000 years later, that which Jesus passed on to his first disciples has continued to be passed on from generation to generation. And we are the recipients of the faith that Jesus began to pass so many years ago. So how does Jesus do it? How did he so effectively pass on the faith that we 2,000 years later are sitting here embracing it? Well, today we've got three things for you. And they all start with C. It's a thing that we learn in pastor school, that if you're going to give a congregation a list, you've got to start all the words with the same letter. Supposedly it makes it easier to remember. So the first thing Jesus does is this. He calls. He calls people. That's what we see in Matthew 4. He goes out and he begins his public ministry by calling four individuals, four fishermen. Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John. He says, "You guys come follow me." And he does it with one of the most famous texts, probably the most famous line that he ever said to these four, for sure. He looked at them and it said, "You are fishermen, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Isn't that great? You're fishermen, but I will make you fishers of men. And what Jesus does in this calling is actually something radically different than everybody else of that day. You see, in first century Palestine and Israel, rabbis didn't go out and seek people. People went and sought out rabbis. In fact, to follow a rabbi, to be a disciple of a rabbi, was kind of the dream of every young Jewish man, or at very least, the dream of his parents. But to be a follower of a rabbi, you essentially had to apply. It's kind of like getting a modern day job. You've got to prove to this rabbi that you've got it all together, that you are worthy of being one of his disciples. And so in the same way that we interview for jobs, rabbis would look at those that wanted to follow and handpick and choose those that they saw showed the things that they wanted. They would pick the best one. But Jesus comes around as one who calls people. He goes out and he chooses those he wants. And he calls people as a way to invest into people. He doesn't take applications. He doesn't interview. He just goes and chooses. And in fact, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were there that day running their family business. And what that means is that these four guys are like theology school dropouts. They didn't cut it. They couldn't figure out everything. There was no rabbi that said, "Peter, James, John, Andrew, you're the one, come follow me." So if you weren't picked to follow a rabbi, your backup plan usually was just to go back and do the family business. It's what Peter and Andrew and James and John were literally doing. But Jesus comes in and he does something so different. He invests in those that everyone else saw as worthless. He took that which was most important to him. And in reality, if you think about it, it's the most important thing in our entire world. And he invested it into those that everybody else thought were not worthy of their time and their investment. And it tells us so much about God's heart. You see, we don't go out and seek God's love or God's grace. God comes and finds us and gives freely His love and His grace. We don't have to outperform anybody that God would love us. We don't have to have it all together. It's okay for us to have to say, I'm sorry. God still loves us and still provides grace for us. We see Jesus pass down what is most important to him by calling people who others thought as worthless and investing everything he had into those people whom he calls. Secondly, we see that Jesus cares about community. So first he calls people, but he cares, secondly, about community. And he does it by sharing everyday life with them. Here's the reality. If you want to invest into people and you want people to care about the things that you care about, if you want to pass on what is most valuable to you to that person, then you have to, you need to share everyday life with them. Jesus called 12 disciples, and those 12 people went on to share life for 3 years with Jesus. They ate together. They walked together. They worked together. They spent money together. They are in the mundane things of life together. Jesus did not just call Peter, Andrew, James, and John and was this hands-off rabbi that was only available 9 to 5. He was there all the time. He was there investing into their lives. You see, Jesus cares about community. And so he shares in everyday life. He cares about the mundane things of our lives. The things that we do every day that we don't think about, that we don't even consider as worthy passing on to somebody else. God cares about those mundane moments in your life. There's an ancient Jewish blessing that goes like this. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Which to us sounds really weird. Like, why would you bless somebody with, like, have dirt all over you? Ugh, right? But you have to understand, in Jesus' time, every road was made of dirt. And so if you were following a disciple, or you were a disciple, you were following a rabbi, and you're walking along this road, guess what gets kicked up? Nothing but dust. And if you're following your rabbi so closely that that dust from his feet are getting on your feet and on your legs and on your clothes and on your face and in your hair, then you are following as closely as you can. And that's what Jesus invites his disciples to do. He calls his disciples, he invites them to come and follow so closely that the very dust of his sandals gets all over them. That's what it looks like to live every day together. See, Jesus cares about community so much that he wants to share even the mundane things of life with us. And if you want to invest in people, then you need to care about community. And that's where it gets hard for us. It gets tricky because here's our reality. We have a sinful heart. And to care about community means that you are second and others are first. And with a sinful heart, that's really hard to accept. You see, caring about community and investing into people in their everyday lives takes, on our part, transparency. We got to be open to it. It takes patience. We got to invest time and effort into it. It takes putting people above yourself. Because from now on, your night is no longer spent binge-watching Netflix. Your night is spent pouring into that person. It means that your car ride home is no longer your decompression mode. It's an opportunity to reach out to somebody and invest and care for them. It means that even if You are an introverted person. Saturday morning, as much as it may kill you, is another opportunity to get out into the world and interact and invest into people. For people who value passing things down, we look forward to those moments where we can do just that. Quite metaphorically, cover them with the very dust of their feet. Finally, Jesus communicates. So Jesus calls people. He cares about community, invests into people. And then Jesus communicates that which is most important to him to the people that are most important to him. And what we love about the calling of the first disciples is not necessarily the call itself, although it's cool, right? You are fishermen, you're going to become fishers of men. But it's what happens right after that matters so much. You see, right after the call, right after the care of community, the first thing that Jesus does is he communicates to the people that are most important to him what's most important to him. He communicates his love of the church to those very first disciples. Now, you might be thinking, I didn't hear anything about church in our gospel reading from Matthew 4. But I want you to go back and take a look at it again. Listen to verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Guys, did you hear it? Did you hear the stuff about the church? Maybe not. Let me emphasize it. There are two things here that the church is all about. Jesus describes them: proclaiming the kingdom and bringing healing of every disease and sickness among the people. This is, in a nutshell, the work of the church. The work of the church should be the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel, and acts of mercy, proclaiming the good news and aiding people in our community however we can. From the very get-go, Jesus communicates what is most important to him to the people that are most important to him. And he will continue to do this through words and actions all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave. And he will rise from that grave for the sake and love of his church. What one thing does that person which you are investing into, what is one thing that person needs to hear from you lest that relationship misses the point? What is one thing that they need from you that they need to hear from you? Do they need to know that you love them? Do they need to know that they have your approval, or better yet, that they will always, always, always have God's approval in Jesus? Do they need to know and see your generosity so they know that your talk isn't cheap words? And do they need to see your hospitality so they know that everyone is invited to the table no matter what? What do people need to hear from you? We started out with that question. What are the most important things in your life? We said they could be trivial, like vintage cars. And despite my best effort of pulling my kids under the car and getting to work on the motor and the brakes and all that kind of stuff, my kids don't seem all that excited about vintage cars. They could be technology. It could be deeper things like faith and family, like we've talked about. But what are those things that you cherish that you want others beyond yourself to have? Here at St. Peter's, it has to be said of us, of you and me, that faith in Jesus is what matters most to us. Let it be said of us here at St. Peter's that faith in Jesus Christ is what matters most. In our church, in our families, and in our lives, faith matters most. And may everything that we do be to invest into people so that that faith in Jesus is passed on, even as we pass on. I want to tell you one final story before we close. Last weekend, my wife and I and our whole family flew to California for her grandmother's funeral. Her grandmother, Ruth Waugh, was born in July of 1922 and died in December 30th, 2022. Guys, that's 100 years on this earth. Her husband, Fred Waugh, is still living at 100 years old. They were married 81 years. I have no idea how they didn't get tired of each other. But to the very end, they were holding hands. It was amazing. And we gathered on Saturday for her funeral to celebrate her life and to celebrate the eternal life that Jesus had given to her. And it was beautiful. Family flew from Florida, from Minnesota, from the Midwest, everywhere to California to gather. And it was awesome. But the most impactful moment of that weekend was the very next day when we gathered up at Ruth's house. And we had everybody there, and we decided we're going to take a picture because this never happens, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. And we got everybody up there. And it was amazing because you had first generation, Melissa's uncle, her mom has passed and since gone to heaven. You had the grandkids, my wife's generation, five of them. You had 17 great-grandkids. And I think another seven or eight great-great-grandkids represented in that room and in that picture that day. That's super cool. But that's nothing compared to this. Every single generation from Ruth and Fred all the way through to the great-greats are faithful followers of Jesus. They have remained connected to Christ. And they have passed that which is most important to them on to the next generation over and over and over again with 100% success rate, but by the grace of God. What is it that is most important to you in your life right now? I pray that it is faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, begging you, challenging you to consider, what are you doing with that faith in Jesus Christ, that most important thing to you, to pass that on to the next generation? Jesus called people. He cared about community with people. And he communicated that which was most important. I pray that you will do the same for that next generation. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that in so many ways, Lord, we stand here on the shoulders of generations that have come before us. People who have cared about what is most important and cared enough to invest that into somebody else and then somebody else. Lord, because of that great call on the shores of Galilee that day, spread an entire church, an entire nation, of millions and billions of people over 2,000 years who have entered into your kingdom and know life and life to the fullest in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that today we would take that which is most important in our lives, that faith, and that we would pass it on so that it would go further than we could ever imagine. Lord, we're so thankful for the call that you have given to us in Jesus Christ, for his care of our mundane lives. And Lord, we lift this all to you in his most powerful name. Amen.